This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 4th, 2023, Trinity Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Bless ye the God of heaven, give glory to him in the sight of all that live, because he has shown his mercy to you. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those words from Scripture are not in any of the three readings that we heard this morning. They are sprinkled throughout the Mass of the day. They come from Tobit, chapter 12, verse 6. Bless ye the God of heaven, give glory to him in the sight of all that live, because he has shown his mercy to you. These words are at the beginning of our Mass in the introit, they are in the offertory of the day, and they are in the communion anthem of the day. We have to appreciate what God has done for us. Today is Trinity Sunday. A lot of you, we think about what God does for us, we think of the blessings, we think of what we have in this world, this, that, or the other thing. The first and foremost thing that God has done to show his charity toward you, his self-giving love toward you, is to have brought you into an understanding of who he is, having revealed himself to you. This is why we have Trinity Sunday, because that's what makes us different from every other religion in the world. This is sort of what pulls the rug out from under this proclamation that, the monotheists, they're all good. Being a monotheist can be your major problem, because some monotheists, like in two of the three groups, don't believe that God is a Trinity. And you must. You must, because that's what gets you into heaven, that God is a Trinity. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and undivided unity is how that prayer from Tobit chapter 12 is presented to us. Well, it doesn't say anything about Trinity and unity. It says the God of heaven, and the God of heaven is a Trinity. It is unmistakable that he has revealed himself to us that way. It's always been there. It's there from Genesis. Genesis, creation. The Father speaks the word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him all things come into existence. And the Holy Spirit overshadows creation and brings order. The Trinity is involved in creation from its inception. God has always presented himself that way. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes, he makes it explicit. Go baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. To be grammatically correct, it would be in the names, plural, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. If we looked at God as three persons, individually, we do not. That's called modalism. We don't do that. That's a heresy. He is three. He is one. He is three in persons. He is one in substance. This is the mystery of the Trinity. Father Francis Spirago, in his commentary on the Catechism, makes a very succinct statement about the Trinity. The mystery of the Blessed Trinity is the foundation of our religion. That's pretty important. If it's the foundation of your... What is religion? You know, a lot of people have a very abstract kind of definition of that. It has a very specific definition. It is how you understand who God is and subsequently how you worship him. And the Trinity is the foundation of our religion. This is what I said before. It makes us different from everybody else. Everybody. Why do we believe this? Why do you believe it's in God as a Trinity? You can't understand it. Nobody can explain it. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Why do we believe it? You can answer that question because God loves you. Even in human relationships, very few people cast their eyes on one another the first time they did. I love you more than that. That's not how it works, even in our relationships. The same as our relationship with God. How do you learn about a person? How do you fall in love with a person? You consistently are in contact with them. They open up to you. They let you know things about themselves. If that doesn't happen, there's a deficiency in the relationship. I have had the misfortune a couple times, again, more than once, to have dealt with a marriage problem where people have been married for years. And I mean, it's literally the person who married the other person didn't really know who they were, because the other person never revealed aspects of their being to the person to whom they were married. And things went south really quick when they found out who this person really was. Okay, I mean, it went way past the better or worse thing. When we get married to someone, I mean, that's a whole marriage rite, is the fact that it's emphasized implicitly and explicitly that we know one another, that we come to this freely. You don't come to something freely if you don't know the person. This is how we learn to love people. They open up to us. This is why we understand that God's a Trinity. He has opened himself up to us. Now, you can open yourself up to another person. They might not love you. They might not like some aspects of your personality they learn about. They don't love you. That's how we work. The same thing spiritually. God has opened himself up to everyone. This isn't just Christians. He sent his son. His son has explicitly presented God as a Trinity. The Holy Spirit, second reading day, the Holy Spirit through St. Paul at the end of Corinthians, the blessing he gives. The blessing, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Ghost, everything's Trinitarian by people who truly know God, like St. Paul, who was converted by God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an act of love, why we believe this. Because even in human love, I know he loves me. I know she loves me. No, you don't. You don't know. You don't know. You believe that they love you. Unfortunately, through my experience, as I said before about people not knowing one another, this has happened much more often. Homeboy goes off to work in the morning. I love you. I love you too. And he comes home to an empty house. An empty house. That has happened several times in my priestly career. I love you. I love you. No, you don't. Now, that person who came home to an empty house, they believed that that person loved them, but they didn't know. So there's an element of this belief, even in our human relationships, one another. So there's got to be an element and belief in the way we relate to our Lord Jesus Christ. And, with love between humans, there is nothing objective. He gives me presents. So what? Might be giving his girlfriend presents too. That doesn't mean anything. You just got to hope. You got to believe that that person loves you. The same with God. You don't know. You never met him. You don't know about his reasons. He's never explained it to you, because you're never going to get it, even on the other side, who God is. So it's to have been born into families who brought you into the Catholic Church through baptism. You can go away and all that kind of, but God has revealed himself to you. I don't believe that. So what? That makes absolutely no difference whatsoever, because that's who God is. It is unmistakable. That's the way he's revealed himself to us. It was an act of love that he did that. It was an act of his opening up himself to us to understand that he's a Trinity, that he's incomprehensible to you. St. Hilary talks about the Trinity. He says, the church knows this mystery. The synagogue believed it not. Philosophy understood it not. Why didn't the synagogue, why didn't the Jews believe in a Trinity? Why do Jews to this day, to this very day, Jews and Muslims, look at you and say, I would never be a Christian because they believe in three gods. They're tritheists. They believe in a Trinity. We do believe in a Trinity, who is one God. They don't get it. They won't accept it. Just like some people won't accept the overtures of others' love in this world. It's a really simple proposition when you step back and look at it, a very simple proposition to something that is, we can't get our heads around it. This is why God, the Jews, God says he's one. Our Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes that God is one. And he also emphasizes that he's God. He's also the one that gives us the Great Commission, says, baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, what is it, Jesus? Is he one or is he three? Yes, is the answer. He is both. How can I believe? I don't understand that. That's why he presents himself that he will never have you understand him, because the moment you do, he's not God. This is Trinity. It's an act of love. He's opened himself, and we have to believe it. Just like someone else in this world, for those of you who are married, those of you who might be aspiring to marriage, someone opened themselves up to you, you love them. You believe they love you, and you're willing to take that step and commit. That's what we do as Catholics. We commit because he's loved us. Just like Father Spirago says, it is the foundation of our religion. It's how we must relate to God to get into heaven. It's how we must worship him. All these folks, the word Trinity is not even the Bible. Why do you make such a big deal of that? No, it's not. We had to come up with a word that presents something that is supernatural. Like I said, it is unmistakable. But when you look at that word Trinity, and again, it did not come up several hundred years after the church was made by Constantine, after he messed everything up. That word is used by Theophil of Antioch 100 years after our Lord ascends into heaven. 100 years sounds like a long time to us, but in the grand scheme of the church's existence and God's revelation of himself, it's nothing. Within 100 years, it's in writing. That word is used. In the year 200, around St. Tertullian, he presents and applies that word, Trinitas, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you got to look at that word too. Again, the Jew and the Muslim looks at you and say, they're tritheists because they believe in the Trinity. If we approach the definition of Trinity in an objective sense, like a noun, I'm going to go a little grammatical here. Some people don't like that. You got to do this because it really it emphasizes the communication of that word Trinity. What is a noun? A noun, it's a person, place, or thing. That's if you use nouns objectively, concretely. A noun used abstractly is an idea or a quality or a state of something's being, not what they are. You look at a dog and say, that's a dog. Why? Because it's a dog. Ontologically, it's a dog. But when we say Trinity, we're not saying God is three. We're saying that he is three, because that's what Trinitas means by definition. It is an abstract noun that means threeness, or the property of occurring three at one time. That's what it means. So when we use that word, we do not apply it to God as this is what he is, like a dog. He's three persons. That's called modalism. It's a heresy. We don't do that. It is the quality of who God is. It is the state of his being. Well, one thing you got to understand, he's a spirit, right? God's a spirit. You know, all those scripture says that your prayers are a sweet savor to him. He doesn't have a nose. He sees this and sees that. He doesn't have eyes. He brought the people of Egypt out of Egypt with a mighty right arm. He doesn't have arms. He's a spirit. Well, is that a lie? No. It's communicating to us in terms that we can understand. Okay, because we don't get spirit because we don't know it. That's not how we are. Okay, we're bodies, so we only understand when these analogies are applied to these things. God is one. This is why the Jews didn't get it. He's one. He's one. One is like one of the most simple concepts that we can present to anyone. 2-year-olds can explain to you one. What's one? You know, put different things. Where's one? Right there. It's easy to explain. It's the natural. It's one. God's not natural. He's supernatural. Yeah, hello? That's that whole, mysteries of faith thing going on. It's supernatural. God become man. Now bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The mystery. Can't get it. Because why? He's going to present himself in ways and through ways that you can't understand to prove to you that he's transcendent, that he's God and you're not, that he's the creator and you're the creature. This is what's going on with the Trinity thing. So, the necessity of belief. I said earlier, this isn't me, this is your church. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you're not going to heaven. Which again, let me step back. Every Trinity Sunday, traditionally, every Trinity Sunday, the Athanasian Creed is read, either in the Liturgy of the Days or in Mass. The Athanasian Creed, when you look at the Apostles' Creed, it's the first one, it's primary, it's Trinitarian. The Nicene Creed, it's more detailed, it's Trinitarian. The Athanasian Creed is much more detailed than the Nicene Creed. It's 2 pages long, made copies for you out there if you want to grab one, if you've never heard of that. I actually have people almost every year. I've never heard of that one before. It's a creed of your holy church. It's a dogmatic statement. And this is the first sentence. It's actually, technically speaking, you'll hear it referred to traditionally as the Quicunque Vult. Quicunque Vult in English is whoever will be saved. Whoever will be saved. Before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. And it starts to present the Trinity. It presents the Trinity, almost what some people would say, ad nauseum. It leaves no stone unturned about God being three and one at the same time. But the bookends of that creed, whoever will be saved needs to believe this. At the end of that first sentence, without a doubt, if you don't believe this, you shall perish everlastingly. And then the last sentence in there, after all the presentation of the Trinity, if you don't believe this, you cannot be saved. Wow. That really pulls the rug out from under everybody's okay if you're a monotheist or claim some child of Abraham stuff going on and everything like that. Your church teaches that you cannot go to heaven unless you believe in the Trinity. Well, that's just what the church says. Why does the church say that? Because of the gospel this morning? Everybody loves John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, they always kind of shy away from the part that says that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But Jesus goes on to say very, very explicitly, he who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Because our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He meant that. Oh, we really don't understand what that is. Oh, okay, if you don't understand what that is, go here to John 3. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are condemned already. And the other two monotheistic religions don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said they're condemned. I don't. He does. That's just not, oh my gosh. Yeah. Even saying that, I mean, you know, most people around here know how. Even to say that, I'm like, oh gosh, you know, I'm going to hear this from some visitor or something like that. It's what your church teaches. It's what your church has always taught. This new everybody's okay thing come up in the last 50 years. That's a drop in the bucket. And the church doesn't believe that. There are certain elements in the church that believe that. They're called modernists. And modernism is a sum of all heresies. It's a heresy to deny the Trinity. It is the heresy to deny the Trinity. This is how important it is. Again, it's just not palatable in our day. It's kind of interesting to me. I always point out that in the rubrics of the Mass, if you want to shorten the Mass up a little bit, you don't have to say the Nicene Creed. You can replace it with the Apostles' Creed. But it actually says in the rubrics, you may not replace the Nicene Creed with the Athanasian Creed. Why not? Well, because that kind of flies in the face of what most people are saying. It's still what your church teaches. Well, I didn't know that. Oh, well, yeah, that's what your church teaches. Because God loved us. He loved it. And it's not to be selfish about that love. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ says, go baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are supposed to share that love with other people. That's called evangelism. This is why you tell people who do not believe in the Trinity that they need to believe. Oh, you know, like, you know, it's a little bit better of a thing to do, but you guys are okay. No, they're not. Because we say so? No, because Jesus says so. He doesn't say they're not okay. He said they're condemned. This is how important this is. It is the difference between heaven and hell, which is a real place. And there are people there already, contrary to what you might hear. It's because God loves us that we know this, or actually that we believe this. The Trinity is the foundation of our religion. And if he's loved us so much to reveal himself, we have to reciprocate by worshiping him as such. Again, that two parts of religion, knowing who God is and then worshiping accordingly. We worship according to the Trinitarian belief that we have as Christians. Our church is ecclesial year. We got three feasts in the ecclesial year. You got Advent, you got Easter, and Pentecost. Wow, three, Trinity. What is Advent? It's the presenting the charity of the Father for sending his Son. What is Easter? It is the charity of the Son who died for our sakes. And Pentecost is the charity of the Holy Ghost who descended and dwells among us, internally and under the forms of the sacraments that we learned last week. The ecclesial year is Trinitarian. After Pentecost, the week after Pentecost, we have Trinity Sunday today. Why? Because the Trinity ties all of those other three things together. And then we have Trinity Tide, or the days after Pentecost, or ordinary time. And that is the time between the resurrection of our Lord, his ascension into heaven, the sending of the Holy Spirit, until he comes back in judgment, Advent. The way we worship in the ecclesial year is Trinitarian. And then when we come to Mass, if you're not seeing the Trinity at Mass, you're like paying zero attention, okay? You're not distracted, you're paying zero attention. Because how does the Mass start? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Mass starts. How does Mass end? The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always. Trinitarian. And then, well, it's a beginning and the end. And then all through Mass, the Kyrie, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Gloria, Trinitarian, the Sanctus, holy, holy, holy. Well, you know, Christians believe God's a Trinity. Well, the Seraphim actually do also. We know from the Old and the New Testaments, that's how they worship God. Holy, holy, holy. Not, hey, God, you're holy. Thrice holy. Three times holy. One in three and three in one. The Eucharist. Well, I thought the Eucharist was the foundation of our faith. No, the Eucharist is the source, center, and summit of our faith. The mystery of the Trinity is the foundation of our faith. The Eucharist is Trinitarian. God the Father sent his Son to die at Calvary. We are taken back to Calvary, and Calvary is brought forward to us when we invoke the Holy Spirit to come down and change the bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent. And we give thanks to the Father for that during the Mass. It is inescapable. That's what we are. That's what gets us into heaven, thus saith the Lord. We should appreciate this so much. We should appreciate this so much because what this is again, the ultimate manifestation of his love for us, his revealing himself to us. We ought to respond to it just like our Blessed Mother responded after the Annunciation. For he that is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is his name. Well, see, Mary's a monotheist because she said, holy is his name. Yes, this is coming out of the lips from the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She was more intimately related to the Trinity than any creature ever has been, because she could do that because she's immaculate. She related to the Trinity. Holy is his name, just like her Son, God, said, baptize them in the name singular of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't get it. Good. Then you understand that you're never going to get God. that you should be very thankful that he's revealed himself, and you should believe that anyway. Because to not believe it means there's a question as to your eternal destiny. Thus saith the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.